Welcome to Technovation, a weekly conversation with people who are shaping the technology landscape. I'm Peter High, president of Meta Strategy, advisor to technology executives, Forbes columnist, book author, and your host. Each episode of Technovation features insights from top executives and thought leaders at the intersection of business, technology, and innovation. If you like what you hear, we'd be grateful if you give us a rating on iTunes or through whatever other source you use for podcasts. And please subscribe so you don't miss a thing. Thank you. My guest this week is Chandra Dandapani. Chandra is the Chief Digital and Technology Officer of CBRE Group, a global commercial real estate services and investment firm with over $21 billion in revenue. Chandra leads the digital strategy and all aspects of technology worldwide for the company, which operates more than 450 offices in 100 countries. Using her strong record of transforming technology capabilities, she oversees the valuations and advisory services business across the globe as well. Prior to CBRE, she served as the digital transformation leader and a divisional chief information officer at Capital One. In this interview, Chandra breaks down the process of digital transformation through her experience of modernizing technology and rapidly creating agile teams at CBRE. She explains that technology is at the core of any business model, making it crucial to insource the talent necessary for software development and to understand the ecosystem of technology trends. Chandra describes how building collaboration between product designers and clients yields entrepreneurial services, such as the new flexible spaces and tenant experience lines at CBRE. We also discuss the difference between digital and technology, the value of efficient leadership teams, and a variety of other topics. Well, Chandra Dandapani, welcome to Technovation. It's great to speak with you today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, I thought we would begin with your role. You are the Chief Digital and Technology Officer of CBRE. I wonder if you could take a moment and describe the two sides of that digital and technology set of responsibilities you have, and maybe more generally, the role you see technology playing in a business like this.
For sure. So, Peter, when I was interviewing with CBRE, initially the role was for Chief Digital Officer, and the conversation went along the lines of, should digital and technology be separate? And having done both roles previously at Capital One, my take was technology is the underpinning. Technology is really the how in a digital transformation, and digital is the what in terms of, you know, it really looks at it from a business perspective, business models, how are they changing, and what type of opportunities are available in terms of whether it's products or services that we offer to our clients or customers, and with technology as an underpinning, things that we can do today that we probably couldn't have done even 5 years ago based on what's available in the market. So oftentimes, many people use digital and technology interchangeably. And for us, we think about it as digital as the what. It's really about the business models, where the business is going, what capabilities we provide, and technology is the how. I also look at it in terms of outside in. Digital is often outside in. And technology is inside out, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, absolutely. And when you arrived, can you talk a bit about the team you found, as well as the transformation of that team that you led from that point forward?
Sure. And going back to the second part of your question about what does technology enablement mean in this industry,
yes.
Right? So when I first started at CBRE, there was this, the company felt that the world was starting to change and technology was going to become an increasingly important part in this industry. Historically, commercial real estate was not an industry where people would wake up and say, this is a highly tech-enabled industry. I have to tell you, though, it's changed dramatically over the past 2.5-3 years. We've been, in some ways, been a big part of that change. But around us, you know, we see a lot of activity, whether it's from prop tech, similar to fintech, right? Startups coming into our ecosystem, clients looking for much more sophistication on the technology and data side from service providers like ours. And just overall, what's possible, right? Moving away from just email and spreadsheet-based ways of working to much more sophisticated technology in the industry. So therefore, when I first joined CBRE, the company had invested a lot in terms of what we call the factory, because it's a large global organization and, you know, we have over 90,000 people. So making sure they have all the emails and laptops, et cetera. And, you know, there was a belief that we need to focus much more on enabling the business. And so a big part of technology on the enablement side, if you will, was actually outsourced. And a big shift that we've made in the strategy for the company is to in-source talent, starting with, obviously, you know, I'm biased towards software engineering. So making sure that we have, you know, product managers, software engineers, designers, data specialists who can really come in and understand what's needed from a business perspective, what clients are looking for, and then be able to jointly problem solve with our clients and with our professionals.
Chandra, I find it interesting as I hear you talk about the rise of these skills that you're now that are now so important. It's quite a contrast. I don't speak to your experience or this company, but generally in IT, think 10 or 15 years ago, where there was this rising trend towards vast outsourcing of IT, the true work of IT being done by others as opposed to employees. And now with this rise of the truly like very technical roles, development of algorithms and technologies to help the organization make better decisions. It's quite a contrast to where a lot of people felt IT was headed, say, a decade or a decade and a half ago.
That's interesting, Peter. I actually left IT in my previous gig for about 5 years because of that phenomena. And because I'm a big believer that technology is essential and it needs to be in the heart of the business. It can't just be somebody else's job outsourced. And even at Capital One, we went through a big shift where we massively insourced engineering talent, and it's paid it's paid off in amazing ways. And so I think you can outsource things that are not core to your business. Technology, I believe, has become and is increasingly much more of a core to any business that you're in. And therefore, it cannot just be somebody else's job. We will have to make sure that we have the right talent in place and the right capabilities to enable our businesses.
That's really interesting insights. As of January, you also added to your responsibilities the Global Group President Evaluation and Advisory Services. And wow, what a strategic role that is. Clearly, I would imagine an outcome of good work done in the prior roles that we just talked about, but also an acknowledgement of how strategic or even the translation of the work done there now towards one of the business lines. Can you talk a bit about how this opportunity presented itself and what you foresee there?
Sure. Peter, you know, if you look back at what I've been doing over the past maybe 8 to 10 years, right, really it's been focusing on how do you build integrated multidisciplinary teams that work together to do amazing things. And so one of the things I did first when I joined CBRE is shifted into agile methodology for building and delivering software. And in the agile way of delivering software, it's not as though technology is sitting, you know, waiting for orders to come in to build software, right? You really work together with your users, your clients, and create software capabilities. So one of the things that I think our company is recognizing is there's a lot of power in doing that. So the conversation started off with, you know, we have multiple lines of business. The valuations and advisory services is one that at the end of the day, we come up with the value of a property, right? So we have other consulting services oriented towards that. And it's data. It can be highly technology enabled and all the things that we talk about, right? How do you make sense of various components of the data that we have access to be able to rapidly assess and assess the value of a particular building or land or whatever that is, right? So with that, I think our company, we see a huge opportunity to see somebody with my background. If I were to come in and take a look at this business, I'm going to look at it very differently from someone who has been in the valuations business for, let's say, 25, 30 years, right? So actually what we have done is reporting into me in this role is an experienced valuations professional who's been doing this for 25 plus years. And so he is clearly coming in and, you know, he's in a new role looking at valuations across different the three regions that we have. And so what we're doing is doing this experiment where if you blend the digital and technology skills that I bring to the table, along with someone who's been in valuations for 25 plus years, what could we do with this business when you completely integrate and embed data and technology? So that's our bet. And, you know, time will tell how we do with that. But we are very excited about the opportunities ahead.
And to what extent, as you take on additional responsibilities, by definition, as you are focused on one set, I have to imagine that this means you have a strong team that can, quote unquote, run the store as your focus is elsewhere, as it would not have been divided prior to taking on this role earlier this year. Can you talk about the way in which you built a leadership team that you were now confident enough to be running the store without you for periods of time?
Yeah. So that's first of all, that's a very astute question, right? To be able to focus on something essentially, you know, that's going to take up a significant part of my time. The only way I can do it is if I have a great leadership team in place. I have to say I've been blessed with, I'm very proud of the team that we now have heading up digital and technology globally. Many of them came from, you know, every one of them has a hardcore engineering or a technology background, and at the same time have grown up in their careers to be able to really identify key points of leverage in whatever business lines they work with. And as you know, A players attract A players. So they have in turn built some great leadership at the next level and the teams, etc. So in fact, I just had two of my QBRs with, two of my direct reports this morning. And every time I meet with them, you know, a quarter's worth of accomplishments, right? And whatever challenges, I see it's a lot of fun to see them grow and take their businesses forward. So I am blessed with a great team, and that allows me to go experiment with the other things on my radar.
That's excellent. Very, very good. A theme from across this is you've mentioned transitioning technology into becoming more of an enabler for the organization and using data as a key weapon in that, in your arsenal. Can you talk a bit about the methods that you are using and the extent to which it's a relevant topic, the ecosystem that you have built around that? No doubt you've probably assembled partners outside of CBRE in addition to building the great team that you've just alluded to within CBRE. Can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. My strategy is build, buy, and our partner. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to build everything ourselves. We have an amazing ecosystem of partnerships. And specific to data, one of the first investments or the first initiatives I championed is creating what we call an enterprise data platform at CBRE. And the difference is, what we really wanted to do is create the best possible repository we could, validated repository about properties, with everything from standard data models. And, you know, we have several hundred attributes on each property. We are property experts. And we had lots of data in multiple systems. We had a method to how we put that together, and more importantly, use case driven ways in which we aggregated the data. It's not just, you know, create a data warehouse and build it and they will come. It was very specific use case driven. And the benefit of that we've seen is our clients now are able to get insights, and whether it's basic dashboards or advanced insights from the data we can share with them on their properties and their portfolios, that's really become a differentiator for us. And so we just keep on moving forward from there. So I'm a big believer in data, because data always tells you a story that's often not easily received through anecdotes or, you know, just touching different one-off elements of a situation, right? So I think the whole company's been massively energized about data. And I still think there's a long way ahead for us in terms of the opportunity with data.
That's great. Yours is an organization that predates the internet, a so-called digital immigrant,
right? Yes.
And given the digital transformation you've described in multiple of your answers, it's a transition I can only imagine from a variety of old ways of doing things, whether it's people practices, general processes, which you've alluded to, the agile transformation that you've led, technologies, no doubt upgrading older technologies to more modern technologies. But obviously, you can't close the store for a year revamp and then reopen. You have to operate under the old technology, old practices, and have a process to transition. And you know, some people refer to this as bimodal IT, two different modes of IT. I'm wondering your own vision of that kind of transition process and the extent to which at the outset the vision was we are going to be completely in the new way of doing things as a result, as opposed to potentially having kind of a foot in the old world and the new world. Where do you
find that? I tell my friends at Gartner that I'm not a believer in bimodal IT. And the reason for that is I believe infrastructure itself has to be an enabler. Oftentimes, you know, you hear about, we have all these legacy systems, and of course you can't transition all those legacy systems overnight, right? Culturally also, you can't have an organization where there is the cool kids and everybody else. So for organizations to really transform, I believe that it has to be all in transformation. So for us, you know, we have focused on our share of cloud migration and, you know, cloud as an enabler, focused on DevOps. And so our infrastructure teams have really now, you know, learned, they went and learned AWS and Azure and really embracing the cloud. And when we hired in software engineers, the opportunity I had is because we had outsourced most of our development, I could hire in software engineers who came in with that digital native mindset, right? Being able to deploy, build software and deploy it on the cloud. We are certainly, you know, we have our set of legacy platforms. However, everything net new that we build is on the public cloud. And, you know, it's CI/CD, 100% automation in terms of push button deployment, all of that needs to be part of the DNA. And so going back to the cultural aspect, CBRE is a very entrepreneurial company. And one thing that a lot of companies talk about, how they're very client focused, this company really lives, you know, working back from what clients need. And the interesting thing is we work with some of the best brands in the world. In terms of our occupier clients as well as investor clients, and they are all going through their own transformation, right? So they are expecting more from us. And so as we see this whole thing play out, the company has definitely made several sure-footed moves. Let me give you three examples. One, in the facilities management space, we saw that, you know, we have dedicated teams of professionals at client sites. We also saw that for distributed portfolios, clients were looking for being able to, you know, find technicians easier. And we acquired this company called Facility Source last year. And this is public information, where they came with some cool, you know, mobile capabilities. They came with a set of suppliers who we can source on demand. So that's a capability that we wanted to invest in. And we're now in the, you know, going through integrating the best of their capabilities with what we already had. So that's one example. The second thing is tenant experience or experience within buildings. You know, if you're working in an office, right, or on a campus, everyone's in a war for talent. Everyone wants to provide the best possible experiences for their employees. And so experience for employees within buildings or tenants within buildings is becoming a big thing in our industry. So we recognized that early on through one of our clients asking us, you know, they were going to go do an RFP for a tenant experience platform. And my team actually, and we couldn't have done this 3 years ago, right? My team of product design engineering got together with our account team. They did a three-day hackathon. We called it a prototon, a prototype hackathon, and went back and instead of just presenting typical RFI or RFP responses, we went back and showed them the full experience of what we could build for them. And sure enough, we won the account. And that is now translated into its own business line or its own P&L, if you will, what we call host. It's a platform and services play where we have people and software coming together to enable great experiences for our clients. So the company is, you know, investing in it. The demand for that has just been unbelievably positive. And the third example I would give is we just launched this product line called HANA in response to the increased demand for flexible spaces from our clients. And our first building for HANA actually opens up this summer right down the street. So you'll see that where it's really a tech-enabled, people-enabled tech and people coming together in an amazing-looking set of spaces that clients can, you know, leverage on a short-term basis and on long-term, depending on what they see.
Very interesting. You alluded for a moment earlier in our conversation to the important role that Agile plays in this and the commitment to becoming a fully Agile team. Can you talk a bit about the process of getting to that level of commitment of Agile, of training the team up to be able to do this, and ultimately the value you ascribe to that?
Sure. So, you know, prior to Agile, there was Waterfall, right? So a lot of efforts that would take multiple months, sometimes years. And the people who commissioned the effort typically either change roles or move on to do other things, right? So with Agile, I think one of the things that we did, first of all, I had help from a couple of external providers because we have a global team and I wanted, you know, to have the scale to be able to train teams across the company on Agile. We started with raising awareness for our executive team on what Agile is. And they were all very excited about, you know, what this means. And then we formed the teams. I like to say this is the fastest rip the Band-Aid to Agile that I did. It took us 6 months to get all custom software delivery converted to Agile. And I was doing this for the third time, Peter. So, you know, once you've done this, you know, a couple of times, you know what to look for. I started with focusing on DevOps because in the first time I did Agile, I kind of learned along the way that DevOps is important. So this time we started with DevOps, made sure we have a DevOps Center of Excellence that can train teams, and in-house insourcing talent was important as well. And so we moved to Agile pretty fast. And you know, one of my direct reports who was already with the company, was a well-respected leader here. I asked her to lead the Agile transformation because she knew the culture, she knew the pulse of the team. She had never worked in an Agile environment, but she learned Agile and actually has since started talking about Agile transformation, both internally and externally. So that worked out great. Benefits of Agile, I think, you know, from my perspective, it's the multidisciplinary integration of teams. And, you know, the tech companies call them two pizza teams, right? Small teams that are focused on a particular purpose, right? Working back from what clients need, what users need, and being able to rapidly iterate, prototype. And, you know, if you will know very quickly whether things are working or not. And so it's actually less wastage, more efficient, and you get things done much faster.
You, Chandra, represent a thankfully a growing sorority of technology women, technology leaders who are women. Actually, mm-hmm. just here in Dallas, I think of Jody Davids at Pepsi, mm-hmm. of Palo Arbor at Tenet, of Diana Schwarz at Hunt Consolidated, Joanne Olsofsky until recently at BNSF.
That's right.
And I wonder if you could take a moment and sort of reflect on where we are in sort of a state of the union of women in technology and the extent to which it's something you think about as you groom the next next level of future women technology leaders.
Sure. First of all, I know almost all of them, the names you mentioned. My first comment is we don't yet have enough women in technology, and that's no news to anybody, mm-hmm. right? I would also say we have an informal group of women CXOs from around the world. It's unbelievable. It's an informal WhatsApp group, and it's growing, and this is the most active group I've been part of. And it's an unbelievable, highly talented group of women leaders in technology. And one of the things, you know, it's our go-to safe place where we can ask each other questions, you know, if we're running into specific challenges, check in. And so there's a lot of power with having that group, which I think is fantastic. You probably know Suja Chandrasekharan, who is CIO of Kimberly-Clark, right? So she is one of our, she was one of the original, you know, pioneers behind setting up a group like this. And we stay very closely connected. So I think the more we can, connect, and there are a lot of opportunities that we come across, and we always ask ourselves, do we know of any women who we can put forth for a particular opportunity? And then also making sure that, you know, it's amazing when you have women leaders in certain roles, you tend to find other women who, you know, reach out to you or you know of, and the connection just keeps growing. So I think we need to do more, but I feel like, you know, we have a very strong set of women leaders around the world who are leading technology, digital roles in very large organizations. And we're all doing our part to make sure that that percentage grows.
That's wonderful. I wanted to, before leaving, wanted to ask you, we've talked about a number of rising trends relevant to this business. And I wonder, as you look, say, 2 or 3 years out into the future, what are some trends that are rising in your mind that you're particularly excited about and either investigating or investing in, as the case may be?
So, Peter, there are, the way I think about the trends are, there are certain trends that are playing out that are specific to our industry. I mentioned, you know, experience, focusing on experience, that's a big trend. Flexible spaces, that's another trend. Applying data and analytics, you know, there's industry specific trends, right? Online marketplaces, etc. And then at the same time, there's a set of technology trends that are playing out, right? Whether it's AI, machine learning, and there are companies that are focusing on blockchain, etc. So I think the exciting part is over the next 2-3 years, the confluence of, you know, whether it's autonomous vehicles or blockchain or AI or machine learning or specific trends in a particular industry like real estate, how does all that come together to shape the future that may look different from what we have today, right? So I believe that none of us can sit here and predict exactly which trends are going to play out. But the best thing we can do is position ourselves to look around the corner and take some bets, right? Thoughtful bets, and invest in areas that we think are going to pan out and learn, test and learn, right, along the way. At the same time, have these agile teams that are constantly learning and iterating so that if the world pivots to towards a direction that we may not be able to anticipate today, we will still be able to catch on and move ahead.
I really like that. There's a thread through this conversation of the work that you have done in the transformation to modernize, again, people practices, processes, technologies, so that you're setting up an organization to pivot quickly, to seize opportunities. You don't have to predict it so far into the future because it's so difficult to pivot this ship, but rather you've got it more of a speedboat that can start to turn more readily to address opportunities as they arise.
That's right. Having said that, we also are very closely watching the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I have a team that has cataloged over 4,000 startups just in our industry, and we are constantly in dialogue with, you know, a much smaller number of those. And we've also invested in VC firms like, you know, Fifth Wall is one of them that's focused on our industry. Metaprop is another one. So we're constantly wanting to make sure also that, you know, disruption doesn't come all of a sudden, right? There are enough breadcrumbs along the way. So we're also watching what's happening in terms of the emerging ecosystem.
Yeah. Well, Chandra Dadapani, thank you so much for taking time to speak with me today. It's been a great conversation covering this remarkable transformation you've led, the augmentation of your responsibilities into truly leading a part of this business. It's a very exciting time, it seems, at
CBRE. Thank you, Peter.
So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for what you do.
Thanks for tuning in. Please join me next week when my guest will be Diane Schwarz, the Chief Information Officer and Chief Digital Officer of Hunt Consolidated.